I was reading an article on something, and I kind of got into a Bible study, but the article was, was basically on becoming like Jesus. And what I'll tend to do is they might say something in an article, and then I'll look at something, and in this article, they were really talking about the church. But when I read the article, I just kind of went more religion than church, and then I just kind of went into more depths, and they were just really saying on what the church wants to get you to think, and I kind of expound on that and take it to a deeper level. And so what I wrote is, religion tells us what to do and what not to do. Religion tells us how to act, and for me it was how to dress, because everybody, when you went to church, everybody was, dressed a certain way, and you wanted to fit in. And I saw where religion, tells us or teaches us how to pray and how to speak like Christians, you kind of get that Christian lingo going, how to evangelize your neighbors, how to try to get them into the church, how to manage your money. And I was seeing that it's really based on behavior and works. And a lot of people find that difficult to conform to. And where true Christianity, what we're trying to walk in tells us what to become and how to become it. It's really Christ in you, the hope of glory. Which, places religion and true discipleship poles apart. I mean, they're on the other end of the world. And I was seeing that in order to, arise above this religious spirit, that we need to see what God requires of us, in a different aspect. And, we know that religion tries to get you under the law, and, God kind of laid out the Old Testament, it was kind of a law for to keep us in a moral and ethical, standard. And the people, in that were under that law found it very difficult, to adhere to. And so, God had the animal sacrifice for sin and all that stuff, but religion tries to bring us back under that law. And Jesus, said that, he came to fulfill the law. And that's a whole, it's a whole different covenant. And he's basically fulfilled the law through the cross, as Matthew 5:17 says, think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I came not to destroy but to fulfill. And I was just really seeing where the purpose of our redemption is to make possible our true calling. And that is to become like Jesus. And this is our high calling and really should be our goal in life. And it's not by doing like the law, but becoming. So we got to get out of the doing and the works and start looking at becoming, because it's not by works, it's by manifestation. And we really can't become like someone unless we know what they're like. And what is God like? What is Jesus like? And that's really where we got to study out the scriptures. And in 1 John 1:5, it says, "And this is the message which we have heard from him and announced unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." So he's telling us that God is light, And then in 1 John 4 and 7 says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is begotten of God and knoweth God. And in it goes on in 16, it says, and we know and have believed the love which God has in us. God is love, and he that abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. So we're seeing that, you know, God is love and God is light. And really, love kind of describes his nature. And, you know, the light kind of describes the spiritual power, the spiritual essence, or that of God. And that God is light, and that light is, you know, I see it kind of as a power source of the universe, that light is, you know, the power of God, you know, and you know, the power of, you know, there's, and everything that's wrapped up in that power is the healing and understanding and revelation and all that stuff. And John 8 and 12 says, again, therefore, Jesus spoke unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And John 12:36, while you have the light, believe on the light, that you may become sons of light. So we're seeing is God is light, Jesus is the light of the world, and by him and his light, all things, or all things are, you know, exist. And in Colossians, you know, talking of Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for in him were all things created, in the heavens and upon the earth, things visible and things invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things have been created through him and unto him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. So, you know, we're seeing that, you know, God is love. Jesus is love. God is light. Jesus is light. And this is just describing as far as, you know, the nature of God and all that. But so I was really seeing where, you know, everything that God does and is, you know, really motivated by love, because that's who he is. And if we are to become like him, we must become, you know, we must, you know, walk in that love. And religion wants us to become more powerful. They want to have more authority. They want to have more gifts, more anointing. And the focus in religion, as far as their you know, motivation is kind of skewed. And, why do we want these things? Because they are the works of the flesh. And the flesh wants more power and more authority and more gifts and more anointing so it can lift up self above others. But if we become love and walk in love, God will give us the power to love. He will give you the authority to love. He will give you the gifts to show love. And he will give you his anointing to love. God first requires us to become love in order to qualify for the kingdom and power of authority. So I was really seeing that love is before, yet we need to walk in that love. And you know, then those gifts that he pours out on us are used to edify that love so we can walk in that love. But when I was in the church, everybody's running after the anointing, everybody's running after the power, you know, and or they're running after the preachers that are, you know, slaying people in the spirit, and they're seeing that. And but there was very little love. It was all lifting up man. It was all lifting up self and stuff like that. But I was just really seeing where, you know, the foundation is really the love, and then those things will come. So if we walk in love, we fulfill all the requirements of the law. As it says in Matthew 22 and 37, he said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second like is this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments, the whole law hangeth and the prophets." So, you know, we've been taught who we are in Christ, but it really should be who he is in us. When Christ came to live within us, he did so in order to live his life through us. What Jesus requires of us is to love the Lord with all our heart, to love mankind as we love ourselves. It seems kind of simple, but it's not. You know, religion has often taught us just the opposite. And we see that, you know, the bad fruit that has been produced, you know, it kind of tears down the lost. It tears down other Christians and their beliefs, all to lift up their works and their doctrines. You know, that's why there's so many sects and divisions in religion. There's no love for God, his word, or their neighbors. You know, it's all, their love is for their pastor, their building, their doctrine, you know, who they are, how big they are, how many there is in their church. I mean, it's all selfish and soulish. And the scriptures make it clear, if we walk in love, we share, you know, shall be transformed into that image. And 1 John says, "He that loves his brother abideth in the light, and there is no occasion of stumbling in him." 1 John 2 and 4 says, "He that says, I know him, and keeps not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keeps his word, in him verily hath the love of God been perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. He that says he abides in him ought to himself walk, even as he walks." So it says, whosoever keepeth his word, and that word, you know, really it's the word to, you know, love God with all your heart and to love your brothers as yourself. I mean, that's the main commandment there. 1 John 2 and 7 says, "Beloved, no new commandment write I unto you, but an old commandment which you have from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard. Again, a new commandment write unto you, which things is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away, and the true light already shineth. He that says he is in the light and hateth his brother is in the darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abides in the light, and there is no occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in the darkness, and walks in the darkness, and knoweth not whither he goes, because the darkness has blinded his eyes." So we're taught that he that loves his brother abides in the light, and that light will purify and transform him. When you become love, you become like God, for God is love. When love is pouring through your light, is pouring through you, and that light will transform you. As you learn to love and give love, that will start transforming you into his likeness. 1 John 4 goes on and says, "We know that we have believed the love which God has in us. God is love, and he that abides in love abides in God, and God abideth in him." So I've seen that God is bringing forth, you know, many sons in his image and likeness. you know, like Jesus, who is love. And we simply follow the way of Jesus, which is the way of love, by his grace. This transformation begins in our lives. And as we desire to change and become more like him, he begins to become love. As we lose our lives and takes on Jesus' life, who is love, change will occur within us and God will transform us. All we have to do is abide in the light. And I was seeing where the Pharisees, you know, they were the theologians when Jesus walked the earth, and, you know, they knew the law, studied the law, wrote the law. I mean, you know, they were the authorities of the scriptures. And with all this learning, they didn't recognize who Jesus was. They were so focused on the law and keeping the finest points of the law and all that stuff that they truly missed the Savior. And it's like that today. Some people are just so caught up in this, you know, just their religion and their beliefs and their doctrines that they're really missing the Savior. And John 5:37 says, "And the Father that sent me, he has borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. And you have not his word abiding in you, from who he sent, him ye believe not. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And these are they which bear witness of me. And you will not come to me that you may have life." So, you know, Jesus was saying, you study the scriptures, but you have no word in you. You have not listened to what God has spoken to you, nor see him appear before you. They believed because they had the scriptures, they had eternal life, but they did not know God and come to God that they might have life. They had knowledge, but no truth. And Jesus said, that which comes out of us is that which defiles us. In Matthew 15, but the things which proceeds out of the mouth come forth out of the heart and defile the man. For out of the heart comes forth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, and railings. These are the things which defile the man. So this gives us some insight onto the, you know, the process of change within us, you know, that goes either towards the good or towards the evil. And we, you know, we tend to talk about love and hate as manifestations or just feelings, or, you know, we talk about them as words or, you know, or even desires. But that's not necessarily the case. Yet love is, you know, it's a power and has a substance. Hate, you know, is a power and has a substance. And the power of love brings light, and the power of hate brings darkness. And Proverbs 23:7, "For as he thinketh within himself, so is he." So, you know, every thought we have, you know, our words we speak, you know, our, you know, what, you know, our emotions, what emanates out of us, you know, is either light or darkness. You know, your attitude will literally clothe you in light or it will clothe you in darkness. You know, your emotions of love and joy and peace and kindness and patience and goodness and faith will clothe you in light, or your emotions of anger and clamor and railing and self-pity and fear and unbelief will clothe you in darkness. You can be either defiled by darkness or purified by the light. And it really comes as, you know, as he thinketh within him, so is he. So it's really taking those thoughts captive, taking what we speak out of our mouth. Are we speaking blessings or are we speaking curses? You know, is it clothing us in light or is it clothing us in darkness? Romans 13 says, the night is far spent and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk becomingly as in the day, not in the reveling and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and jealousy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So we're told to cast off the works of darkness, every negative, selfish, jealous, angry, unforgiving thought or attitude, you know, cast off self-pity, because all that will clothe us in darkness and lead us to death. And it says, let us put on the Lord Jesus Christ and clothe ourselves in the armor of light and walk with an attitude of love, kindness, patience, blessed and abundant life. You know, it's basically walking in the Spirit of the Lord, and that the light may glorify Him and not us. Where the spirit of religion and works and the laws of darkness, you know, that basically glorifies man. But we just need to walk in the light and glorify Him. Isaiah 61 says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of prisons to them that are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them a garland for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. So all of us, you know, we're all walking in a different level of maturity, you know, in the Lord. You know, I just see it as, you know, we're all, you know, I kind of see we're all kind of in a, you know, we're in a non-segregated school that have, you know, from first grade to 12th grade, and, you know, we're all at different steps as far as, let's say, classes in that school. And we're all manifesting a different quantity of light. You know, we're all clothed in different, you know, different shades of that light. And, you know, but it's all based in love, loving each other, you know, seeing everybody where they're at. And that doesn't necessarily be just, you know, us and UVM. That's, you know, with the other people we know that are, you know, the Catholics and the Baptists and the people around us. I'm really seeing where there's people that are caught up in religion, and a lot of them really love the Lord. And, you know, the Lord has opened our eyes to a deeper level. And we want everybody to be at that level, but sometimes if the Lord does not open their eyes, if He doesn't give them a hunger for truth or that, you know, we end up, you know, we just, you know, we try to pull them up and we get frustrated with them, or we offend them, or whatever it is. And, you know, we just have to have grace for them. And, you know, they're walking in the light that they have, and all we can do is really pray for them and let the Lord open their eyes. And, and 1 Corinthians 12 says, but desire earnestly the greater gifts, and moreover a most excellent way show I unto you. And when I looked that up, it said covet earnestly, or envy, or be jealous over the greater gifts, but I have shown you a more excellent way. And really what He's shown us is it's not through, you know, the gifts. It's really through the manifestation of Christ or the light through us, you know, and it all starts in love. And in the Apostle Paul spoke about the possibility of the gifts of the Spirit becoming as a sounding brass and a twanging cymbal, I think he said, and spoke about a better way in that of love. And we can have, you know, we can major on the gifts of the Spirit, but can lack the emphasis in the fruit of the Spirit as the foundation. And, you know, this has kind of produced a shallowness as far as in our, you know, I just see it as kind of a shallowness as far as our springing forth fruit, you know, if we're just trying to major on the gifts without walking into love. And 1 Corinthians 13 says, if I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And if I bestow all things, all my goods to feed the poor, and if I give my body to be burdened, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long, is kind, envious not, vaunteth not, it's not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeks not its own, is not provoked, takes not account of evil. And when you read all this, it's really the love in us or Christ, you know, the Christ in us. If we look at it that way, that, you know, if we look at it, let's say that the that Christ envies not, that Christ vaunteth not, Christ is not puffed up, Christ does not behave itself unseemly, Christ does not seek his own, Christ is not provoked, Christ takes not account of evil, Christ rejoiced not in unrighteousness, but rejoice in the truth. Christ bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endureth all things. Christ never fails, but whether there be prophecies, they shall be done away. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall be done away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, and that's the Christ in us, that which is part shall be done away. So, you know, we see that when the perfect come, you know, everything in part shall be done away. 2 Corinthians 13, finally, brethren, be perfected, be comforted, be of the same mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. So we see that a new seed is coming forth, and it's the Lord's seed in his likeness, and it's a army of people like him who are love, and the people God will entrust with great authority and power, and that power to love the world and to reap the last harvest. Perfecting love paves the way to bring us into the union with the Lord. Ephesians 3 says that he will grant to you according to the riches of his glory, not your glory, that you may be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inward man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. To the end that you be rooted and grounded in love, may be strong to apprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, height, and depth, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled unto all fullness of God. And I was seeing that rooted and grounded in love is becoming stable with a foundation in love, that you may be able to obtain with all the saints to know the love of Christ, which is exceedingly beyond man's knowledge, that you may be filled or perfected unto the fullness of God. And when I read through this, I was seeing that there is quite a few maybes in there, that you may be strengthened, Christ may dwell in your hearts, that you may be strong to apprehend, that you may be filled unto the fullness of God. And those maybes are kind of might statements. You know, it's all based on your obedience. And, you know, we know that our fallen state is kind of unable to be one with the Lord. You know, the flesh is the enemy of God. You know, so this process of change is strictly by faith and grace. You know, as we're reading the Word and that seed is going in us and revelation is imparted, that we understand this process, you know, begins to, you know, to work in us and His way, and we learn to, you know, it tells us to love our enemies and turn the other cheek and all these things. It's just as we start, you know, doing those things, and, you know, it just irritates the flesh because our flesh wants to live, and we start, you know, putting down the flesh. And the more we start doing that, the Lord starts giving us compassion. And, you know, that change starts to occurring in us. So, you know, I was saying we're, you know, by, you know, becoming love, you know, we're exposed to that Spirit of God, and, you know, He starts, you know, transforming us. And, you know, as we, you know, spend time with Him, spend time in the Word, as we're fellowship with Him, that, you know, we start falling into that same image, you know, of the Lord. And it's really the work of the Holy Spirit in us. And it's really, you know, it's through grace and through our faith that and having a willingness to want to change, having a willingness to want to obey the Lord, that you know, that He starts working in us. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is liberty. But we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into that same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit." So, you know, what it's basically saying that is, as we, you know, become like Christ, you know, we become like that by, you know, basically exposing ourselves to Him through the Word and walking in His truth. And it's really, you know, it's what we focus on. You know, when we, you know, if our heart, our mind, our imagination, our thoughts, all our focus is on lustful things or pornography or, you know, whatever it is, just, you know, we take on that spirit. You know, whatever's behind it, that spirit is imparted into us. You know, so if we're focused and running after lustful things, that spirit of lust comes on us. And James 1:15 says, "Then lust, when it has conceived, bears sin, and that sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death." So whatever we focus on, you know, you'll kind of connect, you know, to that, you know, thing. So that applies towards God or towards, you know, the positive. When we focus upon the Lord, you know, opening up our hearts to Him, connecting with Him, studying the Scriptures, wanting to be more like Him, you know, this is, this will start purifying us, and that's, you know, that's purely by grace. And an unveiled face, you know, when we look, it was an unveiled face. You know, I was seeing that, you know, that we're coming to Him without willful sin. We're coming to Him in honesty. You know, we're coming to Him with no pretenses. We're just coming to Him as we are, with our needs and our desires to change, and that it's Him working in us. You know, He just needs a willing vessel as far as that. And 2 Corinthians says, "But unto the day whatsoever Moses is read, a veil lieth upon their hearts. But whosoever it shall turn to the Lord, the veil is taken away." So, you know, this is talking about the Israelites, but it's if their heart truly turns to the Lord will remove the veil. So when you look at yourself in the mirror, you know, you behold Jesus. And this is really by faith. This involves imagination. You know, what you see in the mirror by faith is the Lord in all His glory. And as you behold that image of Christ and you love Him in your heart, you know, you will connect with Him in the Spirit, and He'll begin to, you know, transform you, you know, because that's, I mean, you love Him and you want to be like Him, and He knows your heart, and He'll start working in you. And Romans 12 says, "Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Second, or Colossians 3 says, "Set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are upon the earth. For ye died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested, then shall you also with Him be manifested in glory." So I was seeing, as you walk in the love, in your thoughts, in your actions, in your words, and you desire the light flowing through you, you'll begin to transform in you. And as you spend quality time in the presence of the Lord, just, you know, in His presence, praying, fellowshipping, loving Him, you know, you start to be transformed. And the more time you spend, the more that transformation is accelerated. You know, the more you put Him on the forefront, the more you get the stumbling blocks and the distractions and the things that pull you away from the Lord out of there. And, you spend more fellowship time with the Lord, you know, He will, you know, manifest more in you. So I was really saying it's not works. It's really just getting your heart right and just running after the Lord and all that He has for you, and seeing yourself in that mirror transformed. So that's what I was kind of dwelling on the last day or two, and just becoming more like Jesus. Just focusing in on Him and His will in your life, and coming into that image, and really the foundation to build all that on is really the love. And once you've got that love and walk in that love, then He'll pour out the gifts, you know, more and more, as far as to be used in the love.